The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have knit your people together in one communion in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Grant us grace to follow your blessed saints in lives of faith and commitment, and to know the inexpressible joys you have prepared for those who love you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
A reading from Daniel. In the first year of King Belshazzar of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head as he lay in bed. Then he wrote down the dream. I, Daniel, saw in my vision by night the four winds of heaven stirring up the great sea, and four great beasts came out of the sea, different from one another. As for me, Daniel, my spirit was troubled within me, and the visions of my head terrified me. I approached one of the attendants to ask him the truth concerning all this. So he said that he would disclose to me the interpretation of the matter. As for these four great beasts, four kings shall arise out of the earth. But the holy ones of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, forever and ever. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 149 responsibly. Hallelujah! Sing to the Lord a new song, God's praise in the assembly of the faithful.
Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their ruler.
Let them praise their Maker's name with dancing. Let them sing praise with tambourine and harp.
For the Lord takes pleasure in their evil and adorns the poor with riches.
Let the faithful rejoice in triumph. Let them sing for joy on their beds.
Let their praises of God be in their throat, and a two-edged sword in their hand,
to wreak vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples,
to bind their kings in chains and their nobles with links of iron,
to inflict on them the judgment decreed. This is the glory for all God's faithful ones. Hallelujah.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from Ephesians. In Christ, we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of Him who accomplishes all things according to His counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of His glory. In Him you also, when you had heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in Him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance towards redemption as God's own people, to the praise of His glory. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and Father of glory may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know Him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which He has called you. What are the riches of His glorious inheritance among the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of His power for us who believe, according to the working of His great power? God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Then Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when they speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that, listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not even withhold your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
Lord Christ. You know, there's this pervading myth that we live by today. And that's the one that says that you get what you deserve. If you're poor, well, then surely you've done something to make yourself poor. If you've managed your money poorly, you didn't try hard enough in the job market, this myth places the blame on you for not being successful. If you're rich, well, then you've done something right. You've made the right decisions and must be favored by God. There's no room for chance. There's no room for bad luck. We don't like to hear the stories about the people who did everything right and then yet find themselves to be on the other side of life. The cliche that this narrative loves to quote is, "You got to pull yourself up by your bootstraps." But the text that we hear today tells a different narrative. It destroys them. It doesn't reinforce them at all. In today's gospel reading, we go back in the Gospel of Luke to the Sermon on the Plain. This sermon addresses those who are hungry, those who are meek, those who are persecuted. It addresses those who are beaten, those who are sued, those who are compelled to do work. These people are those in our society who have received the harshest elements that the world has to dole out. And Jesus calls these people blessed. The scripture we hear today
actually portrays a different story. This narrative says that those who are on the underside of life, those who've received the raw end of the deal, those people are the victorious ones. Jesus turns the myth on its head, and he says, those people at the bottom, the kingdom of God belongs to them. Jesus came to proclaim a kingdom that went against the pervading myth, and that myth still holds true to today. And Jesus did this very well. It goes from the very beginning of Luke's gospel when Mary, in the Magnificat, she says, he has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. Jesus, when he was in the synagogue, he quotes the Isaiah text that said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is the kingdom that God is setting up. This is the kingdom that will have no end. And today we celebrate those in that kingdom. Today's All Saints Day. And we're supposed to be connecting the gospel lesson with those who've lived the way of Christ, those who understood the proclamation of this nonsensical kingdom and have sought to live their lives modeling their life after Christ. This day is meant for us to celebrate, honor, and remember those who've gone before us, and remember the saints of the church. And since we're to remember these people, I want to tell you about one of my favorite saints. She was a person who knew what it meant to be poor, hungry, and in mourning. She spent her life with these people. Her name's Mother Teresa. She is most famous for serving in Calcutta, India, amongst the poorest of the poor people in the world. She was so committed to poor people that she said, if there are poor on the moon, we will go there too. She wanted just to provide a small ounce of relief to those who were suffering. Her and her sisters would often go out at night to find those who needed help. And she happened upon a woman who was near to the point of death. And she took her back to the clinic. And she placed her on a bed. And the woman touched Mother Teresa and looked her straight in the eyes and said, thank you. And then she died. Mother Teresa would often remind other nuns that when they provide relief to people, when they actually touch other people, they were touching Jesus. Jesus did say, that's what you did to the least of my people. You did it to me. So the nuns would come back working from the clinics, and they would say, today I washed the feet of Jesus. Today I looked in the eyes of Jesus. Today I fed Jesus. But it's not just the poor that she cared about. She also cared about the rich. She cared about material poverty, but also there was this poverty of the soul that she talked so much about. She said, we know what poverty means. First of all, to be hungry for bread, to need clothing, and to not have a home. But there's a far greater kind of poverty. It means being unwanted, unloved, and neglected. It means having no one to call your own. Both rich and poor can know the pain of being unloved, unwanted, and neglected. Both the rich and poor need to be shown compassion. Lynn Twist had a very interesting encounter with Mother Teresa. She tells this in her book called The Soul of Money. Lynn had a very similar goals as Mother Teresa. She'd been working with the poor most of her life, and she was part of a campaign, the campaign to end poverty. And so she had the opportunity to meet Mother Teresa. And when she arrived at her office, She was waiting because Mother Teresa had another meeting. And after a while, she was ready to be seen. She goes in and has this very pleasant introduction with her. And then this peaceful situation erupted into chaos when these two people flung open the doors and said, "Oh, we forgot a picture, we forgot a picture." It was an Indian couple whose waistlines were a little larger than most of the people in India, who were wearing jewels from their body. They were obviously more rich. They took Mother Teresa and they took her to a corner of the room where they thought they could get a picture. And they held her by her arm and each took turns wrapping their arm around her and posing for a picture. Lynn was furious. How could they treat her like that? She wanted to say something. But then she noticed Mother Teresa's face. She was treating them with the same compassion that she treated poor people. "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." She knew what those words meant. Many times when we think about saints, we think of great people of the faith like Mother Teresa. We think of those people who've had seemingly impossible callings, those martyrs, those who have died for the faith, those who've created monastic orders, great theologians, great pastors. But something Katie Lepas said last week has stuck with me. She said, "I consider myself a quiet Christian." Katie prefers just to live her life and not seek recognition for her faith. She too is a saint. The people who we don't know, who prefer to live their lives transformed by Christ, they are also saints. They're those who we don't know. The ones who don't know don't let their left hand know what their right hand is doing. Those who give amounts of money and prefer to have the plaques say anonymous. Those who sacrifice just to give every week. Those who sacrifice time when it's already sparse. There are saints who go into their rooms to pray instead of preach on the street corners. Those who turn the other cheek, give the clothing off their back, and go to the second mile. They're the ones that we don't know about, but they have done God's work. And their faith still has an impact in our congregations. These are the people that should really be honored. These are the saints who've shown the way of Christ and sought only for him to increase and for themselves to decrease. I think of somebody like my grandmother, who would take people from the streets and provide a meal for them to eat. She would pray for hours a day, talk about Jesus like he was like they were close friends. If you walked into her house and you commented on how nice a piece of art was, or a figurine, or a dish that she owned, by the end of your visit, you'd probably be walking out with it. She was generous with her time and money. And yet, after she died, she wasn't canonized. There's no holiday named after her. But her life, it modeled the way for me to understand the life of Christ and the transformation that takes place through his people. And I'm sure everyone here has somebody like my grandmother. Someone who you would like to remember today. We have the book of names of people who've died, and also the pictures. Those people who have left us physically, but whose lives have had an impact on us. Today's their holiday. At the beginning of the sermon, I mentioned the popular narrative that most of us live by, the ones that we say that we have to pick ourselves up by the bootstraps. But what strikes me about the saints that we honor today is that they understood the ridiculousness of this narrative. And these saints, they all share a common spirituality, that they are dependent on God for everything. People who are like beggars, knowing that it is only by God's unyielding and unwavering love that we are children of God. And because of their dependence on God, they knew that it was God who gives, God who feeds, God who comforts. It's God who makes things right. It's God who's the true actor and initiator of making this broken world whole again. They knew that it actually wasn't what they were doing that was praiseworthy, but what Christ was doing in and through them. So let's remember these saints today. Let's remember that they imitated Christ, and so let's imitate them. Amen.